Starting here in the middle of Gimel Amud Aleph by the two dots, the Gemara quotes from a braita that we saw on the end of yesterday's daf, which is Chachamim Omrim, Kol Zman Sheyad Ha'ovei Kochavim Be'emtza Ptura Mina Bechora. And this relates to the machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda believes that when it comes to a shutaful with a goy, when it comes to a partnership with an Ovid Kochavim, that you are Chayavet Be'bechora. That does not remove the obligation for you to give Bechora. You will give the percentage of your ownership in the animal to the Kohen. Whereas the Chachamim believe that when it comes to the mitzvah Bechor, that if you have a Yad Oved Kochavim Be'emtza, if the non-Jew has any portion of the partnership, then you are Ptura Mina Bechora. Then you're not obligated to give Bechora whatsoever. So the Gemara here is going to discuss, first of all, the machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, what are their respective positions and why. And number two, the Gemara then will discuss how much of a part of the partnership does the Ovid Kochavim have to have in order to have the Chachamim say that it's called Yad Ovid Kochavim Be'emtza and Yar Ptura Min HaBechora. The Gemara says, V'chachamim orim kol zman sheyad Ovid Kochavim Be'emtza Ptura Min HaBechora. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, there are other girsaot that say Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ushnehem Mikra Echad Darshu. They both darshu in the same pasuk, the pasuk found in Parshat Bo, which is Kadesh Li Kol Bechor Peter Kol Recha Bivnei Israel Badamu Veima Lihu. The word Kol Bechor. So when it comes to Kol Bechor, what is the default status of the word Bechor? And then that will relate to how we look at the word Kol. The Rabbanon Savre Bechor Mixa Bechor Mashma. When it comes to where the Bechor, Bechor by itself means any portion of the Bechor. That means that if I just written the word Bechor, if you owned any portion of the Bechor, you would be Chayevet in the mitzvah Bechorah. Kotov Arachmana Kol. So then the Torah went ahead and added in the word Kol, the Ribui, Adi Kakule. So that comes and establishes it's not enough that you own a portion of the Bechor in order to be Chayav in the mitzvah. You must own the entirety of the Bechor to be Chayav in the mitzvah of Bechor. If that's the case, we understand the position of Chachamim that Kol, Zman, Shiaru, Bechorim, Bemsab, Turamina Bechorah, because you need to own the entirety of the animal. If the Ovid Kochavim has any ownership over here, then you do not qualify under the pasuk of Kol Bechor. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Savar Bechor, Kulei Bechor Mashma. The word Bechor by itself, had I had nothing else there, would be Mashma that you need to own the entirety of the Bechor. Kotav Rachmana Kol. So then what do I do with the word Kol? If your ready says Bechor, which means the entire Bechor, then where's the word Kol? Dafilu Kol Dehu. The word Kol here does not mean everything, but rather anything. Kol Dehu. Any amount is sufficient. Any amount that you own of the animal, whatever that portion is, you will be chayav in the mitzvah of Bechor. So Iva Ideima, there's another way to explain the machloket, which is the Kuliyama Bechor Ruba Mashma. Everybody agrees that the word Bechor means that you should own the majority of the animal. Now then they argue about how to apply the word Kol to that position. Marsavar Kol Mashma Limluye. Chachamim believe that the word Kol comes to say, take this Bechor, where I'm saying that you have to own the rov of the Bechor, and fill in the minority. The minority that you don't own, the word kol comes and says you have to own that as well. And therefore you need to own the entirety of the animal in order to be chayav. And that's why again the Chachamim's position is, kol zman she'ovid kochavim be'emtza ptura min ha'bechora, because there's a requirement here that you own the entirety of the animal. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's the gruyayata. The word kol doesn't come to say to fill in the minority that you don't own, but rather come to tell you, kol duhu again, that it means any amount. Not the rov, but even less than the rov, you're chayav for whatever portion that you do own. There we see here the machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda with regards to shutafut, partnership with the goy. According to the Chachamim, you need to own the entirety of the animal for one of two reasons. Either because the word bechor means any portion, kol comes to tell you you have to own the entirety of it, or because the word bechor means rov, and the word kol then takes a remaining minority and says you must own it. And Rabbi Yehuda believes that when you have a partnership with a goy, you're still chayav for your portion in the Bechor. That's either because the word Bechor would have meant the entirety of the animal, the word Kol comes and tells you, you don't need the entirety, you need Kol Tov, you need any amount in there, or because Bechor means Rov, and the word Kol comes to tell you that you don't need the Rov, that anything is sufficient in order for you to be Chayav in Bechor, and you'll be Chayav for your portion of the Bechor. Now the Gemara asks, V'kama tehei shutafut shel ovi kochavim etei ptura min ha-bechorah? How much of the partnership must the goy own in order for the Jew to be patur from the Bechor over here, the mitzvah Bechor? So Amar Rav Huna, afilu ozno, that even something as insignificant as the ear of the animal, that would be enough. So Rav Huna believes that the goy's ownership here does not have to be anything of significance. He has to own something, he has to own a portion of it. So even owning the ear would be sufficient. Matkif la Rav Nachman, velemalei, shakil oznecha, vizil. So why doesn't the Kohen say to this individual, take your goy and his ear and take off with it? And then I have a bechor, it'll be a bechor bamum, but still it'll be a bechor. There's nothing wrong with this animal if you somehow separate out the ownership over here. So I can say to you, you think you're patur from the mitzvah bechor now because this Ovi Kochavim owns the ear of the animal. I'll tell you, allocate him his piece, give him his ear, and now what are we left with? We're still left with the bechor. It's a bechor bamum, but a bechor bamum also goes to the Kohen. A bechor tam goes to the Kohen to be put on the Mizbeach. A Bechor Mamum is given to the Kohen to use his own property to eat the meat of the animal, even Big Vulin. So the Kohen can say to this individual, if you think that the partnership of the Goy in the ear is enough, take the ear, separate it out, break up, dissolve the partnership, and then I'll take whatever's left. So Itmar, Rav Chisda Mar, so Rav Chisda therefore says, Davar Shoseh Oto Nevela, that has to be something that makes it into a Nevela. Rav Amar, Dabe Shoseh Ota Trefa. And Rav says that it's something that makes it into a Trefa. Tosafot points out that there's a Girsa, an opposite Girsa in other Gemaras, Gemara and Tmura, and that would make a little bit of sense, because it would fit into the flow of the Gemara. Rav Huna gives the smallest amount, which Bios know. Then you would expect the next opinion to be something bigger, and the final opinion to be the biggest. And if that was the case, you would read it that Rav Huna says Afilo is no. Rav Chisda Amar, that has to be something that makes it into a Trefa. And Rava says it's something that makes it into a nevela. But now, let's just understand the machloka between Rav Chisda and Rava with regards to whether it has to be a nevela or a trefa. That's what the Gemara says, but my kamiflege, what are they arguing about? Gemara says they're arguing about the trefa chaya. Can a trefa live? The mandamar, davar shoseota trefa, the one who says that the item that the goy must own in order to make you patur from bechor is something that, if that item was removed, it would make it into a trefa. For instance, from the knee, from the arkova, the malo, if you cut off over there, it would make it into a trefa, not into a nevela. So he holds trefa ain't a chaya, that a trefa will not live. Since a trefa will not live, that's sufficient for the goy to own that piece, because that ensures for us here that the goy's portion of the animal is significant enough that it would cause the animal to die. Lamanda mardavashoso to nevela, according to the one who says that goy must own something that would cause the animal to die, avo trefa chaya. The reason he doesn't use the term trefa is because trefa can live. If a trefa can live, that's not sufficient ownership by the goy to establish that you will be patur min habechor. You must own enough of the animal that it will cause the animal to die. Since a trefa does not die, therefore you need to own the amount that would cause it to be an eila. For instance, he owns the kaneh, the veshet, something in the animal that is significant enough that would cause it to die. So Amar Rabbanan, Kamei de Rav Papa. Rabbanan suggested to Rav Papa, Ha, de Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, Rav Lo Plige. Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, and Rav do not argue. Now it's obvious that Rav and Rav Chisda argue, because we just saw that they argue. The point being that between Rav Huna, who says the ear, and Rav Chisda and Rav, according to their respective positions, they don't argue. Meaning Rav Huna with Rav Chisda, or Rav Huna with Rav, that they do not argue. Because their suggestion now is, ha bo, ha bi imo. It depends who you're talking about. Because there are two animals that can make you patur from bechor, the mitzvah bechor over here. It could be that the goy owns a portion of the mother, and that makes you patur. Or it could be a possibility that he owns a portion of the ubar, of the fetus that is born, and that will also make you patur. And their suggestion right now is, when it's talking about the ubar itself, when it's talking about the fetus itself, then that's Rav Huna's statement. Rav Huna's statement is that if you own a portion of the ear, that is sufficient. So according to that, you'd be patur from the bechor if the goy owns the ear of the fetus. On the other case, when it comes to imo, it comes to the mother, it has to be something of significance, like Rav Chisda and Rava suggest, something that would cause it to die. And that's where we say or make the statement of nevela and trefa, that's by the mother itself. And we can understand that. The mother, who doesn't have any inherent kedusha to it, it's not the bechor. So there we're going to make the ownership of the goy have to be something of significance in order to make you patur from the offspring that is born. On the other hand, when you're talking about the offspring itself, the fetus, that fetus is kodosh bi bechorah. So there, any ownership by the goy would cause a problem, and that would be the position of Rav Huna. So Rav Papa responds to the Chachamim who made such a suggestion. He says, "Amar lehu Rav Papa, Maishna bo, to mean in kol bechor veleka. You saw before that the reason behind the Chachamim that if the goy has any ownership there, that you are patur, is we learn it out of the word kol bechor. And there you don't have it. We're not qualifying for kol bechor. Imo nami. When it comes to the mother, nami b'inan, we still need kol miknichati zachar veleka. Pasuk is from Parshat Kitisa. Parshat Kitisa, it says, kol peter rechem li, v'chol miknichati zachar peter shor vaseh. Mar is parsing the pasuk a little bit differently than we would read it. It says, v'chol miknicha, and then comma, tizachar. If it's kol miknicha, meaning that if you own the entirety of the mother, then tizachar. The male that is born from that will be kadosh b'chora. So that has the same meaning as what we have here by kol b'chor. So just like in Shmot Perek Gimel and Parshat Bo, when it says kol b'chor, that's referencing to the fetus. When we say the word kol b'chor comes to teach me you must own the entirety of the animal, so too the kol miknicha that is found in Parshat Kitisa and Perek Lamed Dalet in Shmot, that kol miknicha, which is referencing the mother, that kol miknicha says you must own the entirety of the mother. And you don't have that. Now, you don't have that because either of what Rav Huna says, or what Rav Chista and Rova say. But there's no reason to make a distinction between the mother and the fetus. So since their din is the same, the machloka between Rav Huna and Rav Chista and Rova should persist. Because whatever they say that is true by the fetus is also true by the mother. Ella, loshna. What you have to say is that there is no difference between them, and their machloket exists in both realms. So matgif la marba Rav Ashi, maishna minifelim. Why is this any different than a miscarriage? So his question is on all of these individuals here. If the animal has a miscarriage, we still say that it's kadosh b'kdushat b'chora. Ta'afaglav dila b'nei chiyuta ninu. Even though, despite the fact that they're unable to live, this fetus is not going to survive. Nevertheless, koche still takes on the kadusha of b'chora. Da'amar mar. Because we quote the pasuk from Parshat Bo, "V'havarto kol peter rechem l'Hashem, kol peter sheger behema, asher yalecha zecharim l'Hashem." So based on that, peter sheger behema, shegar behema. So anything that is inside the animal. So Rashi gives two interpretations to that about sheger behema. One is sheger behemei behema, that it lives inside of the animal. Shadayin lo yigia zman anotzeit. It's supposed to still be inside the mother's womb. It's not supposed to have exited. Now it does exit, and is still, according to the pasuk, kadosh bechor. Or the other one, lishnachrina, shegar behema, mashe behema, mishagiret umishakelet. That which the animal passes and releases, that is kadosh bechora. So over here you have a fetus, which will not survive when it's discharged by the animal, and yet it's still kadosh b'kdushat bechora. So what do you see from that? You see that it does not have to be a living entity in order to be kadosh b'kdushat bechora. So also over here, hachanami, in our case over here, so what? That the Ovei Kochavim owns a portion of it, and the animal would not survive with the ownership of the Ovei Kochavim over there. It makes no difference. Even if the animal doesn't survive, it's kadosh b'kdushat bechora. It says you have to distinguish. Hatam kevin delo arvi ve'behu l'chulin karinu ba'behema. Because when it comes to the case of the sheger, when it comes to the case of the miscarried fetus, over there, there's nothing in that animal that makes it chulin. The entirety of the animal is kadosh b'kdushat ha-bechora. And therefore, karinim ve'be behema kol bechor. And therefore, it qualifies to be called kol bechor. The entirety of that animal is chaya b'kdushat bechora. Hacha, over here, by the case of the ownership of the goy, came into ribu behu chulin. Now you have a mixed ownership. The animal is partially kadosh b'kdushat bechora, partially chulin, that's by the ownership of the Ovei Kochavim, lo karinim ve'be kol bechor. That doesn't qualify to be called kol bechor. So therefore, when it comes to the peter sheger behema, that qualifies to be called kol bechor. Because under the term kol bechor, it means the entirety of that entity must be kadosh b'kdushat bechora. And that's what happens over here. By the case of the sheger behema, yes, it's not a complete animal. Yes, it's not going to be a living being. But nevertheless, whatever is here is totally kadosh b'kdushat bechora. That's not true when you have a partnership with the goy. That which the Jew owns is chayav bechor. That which the goy owns is patur bechor. Now you have a mixture of patur and chayav. That means that the kol, the entirety of this animal, is not kadosh b'kdushat bechora. We must distinguish between these cases, and you can't bring a proof from the miscarried fetus to teach us that it should still be kadosh b'kdushat bechora. So Rav Elazar lo al the Beit Midrasha. Rav Elazar didn't make it to the Beit Midrash to learn that day. Ashrechei the Rabbi Yassi, bumped into Rabbi Yassi. Amalei, ma'amur rabbanan beit midrash. What'd you learn today? What went on the beit midrash today? He says, Amalei, hacha, amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Yochanan says. Afilu mum kal. Even a small mum is enough. Meaning that he's paskening like Rav Huna. That the amount that the Obrik Chavim needs to own in this animal is even the smallest amount, even something that would make it into a mum. That means afilu ozno. And for that reason, the locha really is like Rav Huna over here. We pass the locha like Rav Huna because we see that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rav Huna over here. So now you have Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Huna saying that it's sufficient that the Ovi Kochavim own the smallest amount within the animal, something that would make a small mum. So owning the ear is sufficient over here to make you patur min ha-bichor v'hadit. Now this is a second statement, independent statement by Rabbi Yochanan. That which we have in the Mishnah, Rachel, she'yalda min eiz, ve'eiz, she'yalda min Rachel. If you have an animal that gives birth to a domeh, gives birth to an animal that is not of its own kind, so therefore you have a ewe that gives birth to a goat, or a goat that gives birth to a ewe, that is something that is p'tura min ha-bechora. Why is it p'tura min ha-bechora? Because that is a mum. Im yesh bo miktzat simanim, chayav. So now, if it has a portion of the simanim, meaning it looks somewhat like the mother, if the ewe that gives birth to the goat has some features that look like its mother, the ewe, or the other way around, if you have the goat that gives birth to the ewe, if it has some features that look like the goat, then you are chayav, but it's a mum kavu havi, lishkot alav, it's chayav in bechora, but nevertheless, the fact that it has these unusual features in it, that it looks like something that is not akin to the mother, that means that it has a mum kavua. And you can be shecht on that, meaning that it's given to the Kohen as a Bechor Bal Mum, and then he can shecht it right away and use it or eat it based on the fact that it's a Bechor Bal Mum. So now Gemara says, Bishlumah Mum Kaal, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan made the statement that when it comes to a Mum Kaal, Kamashulan Ki Rav Huna, he's telling us that the Locha is like Rav Huna, Ulafuke Mid Rav Chista V'Rovo, and come to teach you the Locha is not like Rav Chista and Rovo, who required it to have the ownership of the Goy up to the point of making it into an Avela or Tarifa, but sufficient, like Rav Huna, that he owns a portion of the animal, like the ear. Elamum kavua, my kamashmalan. What is he teaching us with regards to that Mishnah by the Eiz and the Rachel? The kevin di ishtane havale muma. He's coming to teach us that something unusual in the animal is considered a mum. Tanina, we already have a Mishnah that tells that explicitly later on in the Masechta. Upiv dome kishel chazir. If the mouth of the animal looks like the mouth of a pig, harizem mum. That's considered a mum. So too over here. By the Rachel and the Eiz, if it has some features like the mother, some features like the other species, of course, that's a shinoi, and that should also be classified as a mum. So why is it that Rabbi Yochanan is coming to teach us something that we know in a Mishnah further on in the Masechta? So now what he wants to suggest is a difference between that Mishnah we're going to see later in the Masechta and the Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan is quoting over here, that Hotam nishtana bedavar she'in b'mino kadosh b'bechorah. What do you want to suggest over here? That Mishnah is talking about that the animal has a mouth like a pig. A pig is not kadosh b'bechorah. Its species has no din in b'chorah. So therefore, over there, the Mishnah calls it a mum kavua. Over here, hacha nishtana b'davar shebimino kadosh b'bechorah. Over here, both goats and sheep are both chayavim in the mitzvah of b'chor. If that's the case, because it switched its feature to another animal that also has a din of chiyuv b'bechor, I would think that maybe that's not sufficient to be considered a mum kavua. So the Gemara says, Hanami Tanina, that we also know. We also have that further on the Masechta in a Mishnah that says, Eino achat gidola, v'achat kitana, if one of his eyes is big, and one of his eyes is small, v'tana gidola, gidola, kesheegel, kitana, kitana shel avaz. So when it comes to being big, I mean it's big like the size of an egel, which is the size of a calf, and small means like the size of a goose. So bishlama ktana kishel avaz ein bimino kadosh b'bechora. That makes sense that if one of its eyes is as small as the eye of a goose, then the goose is like this case of the pig, that it has no din of kedushat b'chora in that species, and therefore we continue to uphold this distinction that we are stating, which is that when it comes to a mum of an animal that does not have kedushat b'chora in its species, over there we say that it's considered a mum kavua, but when it comes to something that has within its species dushat bechora, then maybe we think that it's not a mum kavua. Along comes Rabbi Yochanan to tell us that chiddush. Gemara says, but ela gdola kishalegel yesh bino kadosh bechora. That Mishnah says that if it has one of its eyes is as big as the eye of a calf. Calves are included under the Kedushat Bechora. Cattle and flocks, both goats and sheep, are all chayavim in the mitzvah of Bechor. So if that's the case, then we now have something within its min. We have something that's changed. The eye is as big as that of a calf, and it's changed within an animal that's chayav in Bechorah to a species that's also chayav in Bechor. And nevertheless, the Mishnah over there says that it is a mum kavua, to cause it to be a Bechor ba mum. So now, what's Rabbi Yochanan adding for us of that? We already know that from the Mishnah over there, that even when they are both chayavim in the mitzvah of Bechor, then nevertheless, that's still considered to be a mum. Elalav, mishom de amrinan came in dishtane, avalei muma. Because it changed, because it's not normal for this animal to have this, that's considered a mum. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan's not adding for us anything for us over here. Lo, that's not the case. Mishom davalei sarua. It's because it qualifies under the mum that the Torah mentions called sarua. Sarua is a mum where one aver is big and one aver is small. That you have a difference between the size of the avarim. So the problem in that Mishnah is not because it's a mum. It's because it's qualifying under this din called Sarua. The Hachanami Mistavra, that makes a lot of sense that the problem over there in that Mishnah is a problem of Sarua, not a problem of change. Kevin Dishtane, it's considered a mum. That's not. Mumim Elu. These mumim, ben kvuim, ben ovrim, whether they are permanent or whether they are temporary, poslim. These are the mumim that apply to animals to make them pasul for a karban. Niyatalehim Adam. Adam, man, human beings have an additional mum that is not included by the animals, which is enav shtehem gdolot, shtehem ketanot. By a person, if both of his eyes are big, or both of his eyes are small, then he's also considered to be a baal mum, and he can't do avoda in the mikdash. So gabi adam hu dichtiv, my human beings, where it says ish ish mizer aron, that any individual from the offspring of aron, the beinan ish shaveh bizero shel aron, needs someone who looks like a human being, someone that looks like all the other kohanim. So therefore, the individual, this human being, has both eyes that are big or both eyes that are small. They do not qualify to be shaveh b'zero shel aron. They're not equivalent to all the other human beings because they don't have eyes like a human being. Aval behema, but when it comes to an animal, shtem gedolot, shtem katanot, nami lo havi muma. So over there, it would not be considered a mum. And this would uphold our understanding of the Mishnah. That Mishnah that says that if it has one eye that is big like an eagle, the reason that over there you are patur min ha-bechora is because it's a sarua. Not because since it changed, since it's unusual, therefore it's a mum, kavua, and it's considered to be a bechor ba-mum, because if that was the case, then it should be the case if both eyes were big or both eyes are small. Because that's also different than the normal way that this animal would look. But the fact that the animal is only considered to be a ba-mum when it has one big and one small, over there we consider it to be a sarua, and that's why it's not considered to be a bechor that is tam, but rather a bechor mamum. But when you have both eyes big or both eyes small, there the Mishnah says that it's true by a human being that's problematic, but by an animal that is not problematic. And therefore, you see, it's nothing to do with the fact that there's something unusual about this animal. It has to do with the fact that it's qualified under sarua. And if that's the case, that'll be the explanation of the Mishnah over there. And Rabbi Yochanan is coming to teach us that when you have something that has changed, that's called a mum kavua, because we couldn't learn that out of the Mishnah further on. So my taima. So Gemara wants to know, why is it by the animal when you have both that are big, or both that are small, that you are still chayav in bechor, it's considered a bechor tam? Imishum shinui, if you consider it because it's unusual, it's not the normal way that it looks, afilu shtem gedolot, shtem katanot. If that's the case, that even when both of them are big or both of them small, it should also nami, it should also be problematic, elav. What's the reason that the Mishnah says that one big and one small is problematic? Davalei sarua. Because it's qualified under sarua. Where says, lo, lo, lo. The olam, emilacha mishum shinui. The reason in that Mishnah is because anything that changes is considered to be a baal mum. So if shinui have a muma, but the kakashalach, afilu shtehem gdolo shtehem ktanot, if that's the case, when both eyes are big, or both eyes are small, hatam, over there it should also have been that it's considered a shinui. So why isn't it over there that's considered to be a bechor baal mum? Because imachmat biryuta yeterta tarvayu bayu lemivra imachmat kichishuta yeterta tarvayu bayu michash. The reason in that Mishnah is because either the animal has this additional strength in it. It's a very healthy animal. Since it's a very healthy animal, both eyes are big in it. So when both eyes are big in it, that's not considered to be a mum. That's just considered to be a sign of extra health in this animal. But when you have one that's big and one that's small, That's not evidence of extra strength in the animal, because then both of them should have been big. On the other hand, if both of them are small, that's evidence that this animal is weaker than a normal animal. It's not evidence that there's anything wrong with the animal, just that it's weaker than a normal animal, and that's why it has smaller eyes. But then again, that would be true if both eyes are small. But if one eye is big and one eye is small, then we don't have evidence of that again. That's why the Mishnah over there believes that one big and one small is considered to be a mum, because that's a strange, that's unusual. That is something that no animal should have. The animal having bigger eyes or smaller eyes might just be evidence of its health, but it not be something that's unusual or out of the ordinary to be considered a mum. So if that's the case, now what do we do with Rabbi Yochanan? We have Rabbi Yochanan making a statement that anything that's changed in the animal is considered a mum. We have a Mishnah later on that says exactly that. So Rashi says that Rabbi Yochanan's coming to teach us exactly that. Rabbi Yochanan's coming to teach us, we had two ways to read the Mishnah coming up. Either that the problem in that Mishnah is that it's a Sarua, or the other possibility of the problem in that Mishnah was that it is Hovishtane, that something changed, it's considered a Mum. So Rabbi Yochanan comes to teach us how to read that Mishnah. Read the Mishnah as that the problem in that Mishnah is the problem that it's Hovishtane, it's considered a Mum. Don't read that the Mishnah, that the problem is because it's under the term called Sarua. That's the way Rashi learns Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Gershom says that Hodar Kushya L'Duchte. The Gemara here leaves it as a question of Rabbi Yochanan by the fact that now we have established that the Mishnah later on in the Masechta says that when it comes to something that changes, it's considered to be a Mum Kavua. Then what is the purpose of Rabbi Yochanan's statement over here? And we're left with the Tzarachion. We don't know why Rabbi Yochanan made a statement if we already have a Mishnah further on. So Rabbeinu Gershom leaves it as a Tzarachion in the end. Rashi comes up with a way to explain what Rabbi Yochanan was doing. Rabbi Yochanan is coming to tell us how to look at the Mishnah further on. And by telling us how to look at the Mishnah further on, we learn the din that he's explaining, which is that anything that is unusual is considered to be a mum kavua. So now we have a couple of stories here. Hai Giruta, when it came to this woman who had converted, Dehavu Mastrin La Achei Chiyuta Lip Tuma. That this woman who had converted, her brothers used to give her their animals in order to fatten them up. But basically, they now had a partnership. You have a partnership between a Jew and a non-Jew. Because her brothers are not Jewish. And they're giving her the animals to watch. And she has, for watching these animals, some partnership. Either she gets a portion of the ubarim, or she has a partnership in the mother animal. And she comes to Ati the Kamei de Rava to ask him whether she is chayevet in the mitzvah b'chora. So Amarla, late dechashle leha de Rabbi Yehuda. Nobody worries about Rabbi Yehuda said, Amar shutafut oved kochavim chayevet b'chora. Nobody holds like Rabbi Yochanan. So here we have Rava who's a batra, passing for us that the loch is like the chachamim. As long as you have yad oved kochavim be'emtza, your p'tura mina b'chora. And that which Rabbi Yehuda said that we are choshishin, that you are chayevet b'chora when it comes to the yad oved kochavim be'emtza, nobody holds like that. Nobody passes like that. So he says to this woman that you are p'tura mina b'chora, based on the circumstances, since your brothers are not Jewish and you are Jewish, you have a partnership here now between a goy and a Jew, and that animal is p'tura mina b'chora. So now Rav Mari Bar Rachel. Now if you remember Rav Mari Bar Rachel, it's interesting that why is he called by his mother's name and not by his father's name? That has to relate to the story with the daughters of Shmuel. That story is found in the Gemara in Ketubot, but Rashi points this out in the Gemara in Baba Metzia. And when Rav Mari Bar Rachel is mentioned in that Gemara in Baba Metzia, he says, Bat Shmuel Haba, that Rachel was the daughter of Shmuel, v'nishveit, and she was taken captive, v'niseit nachri, and she married her non-Jewish captor, and then v'nit gayer, the captor converted. The name of the captor was Isur Giura, and Isur Giura only converted after she had already conceived her son, Rav Mari. Rav Mari, horato shelo b'kedusha, he was conceived when the captor was still not Jewish, but leidato b'kedusha, that he was born after the captor already had converted. Machmat kivodo, because of his kavod of Rav Mari, talo ohu ashem imo. Therefore, they connected him to his mother and not to his father. So it's not Rav Mari bar Isur Giura, but rather it's Rav Mari bar Rachel, and Rachel was the daughter of Shmuel. And the full story there is found in the Gemara in Ketubot about what happened with the daughters of Shmuel. So Havile Hayichiyuta, he had this animal, Hava Maknet Odnahu the Ovi Kochavim. He used to give the Ovi Kochavim a portion of the animal. He used to be Maknet to him, the ear of the animal. Va'asar Lohu Begizavavoda, despite the fact that he had given a portion of the animal to the Goy, he would still treat it with Kedushat Bechorah. He would say, you're not allowed to shear it, you're not allowed to do work with it. And then he would give it to the Kohanim. And his entire flock died out. So the Gemara wants to understand this. After he's treating it with Kedushat Bechora, Amai Makna Lehudo Denayu. Why was he giving the Ovid Kochavim a portion of the year if he was still treating it with Kedushat Bechora? So if he's giving the portion of the year to the Ovid Kochavim, which makes him Turam in a Bechora, then why is he acting like the animal is Chayav in Bechor? So Dilma Ati Behuda De Tekala. He was worried about problems coming up with the Bechor. But Mari Baruchel lives after the time of the Beit HaMikdash, so there's only one option for a Bechor, and that is to be a Bechor Baal Mum and for the Kohen to eat it. But if it doesn't have a mum in it, you're going to have to wait around till it does have a mum in it, and in that duration of time, then there's a chance that someone would do a vodah, somebody would expropriate the Bechor and use it for purposes other than a Bechor, giving it to the Kohen or the Kedusha that is associated with the Bechor. So in order to prevent that problem, he had the goy own a partnership in the animal, so that way it took away the kedusha bechora. But nevertheless, he still treated the animal with kedusha to bechora. Where it says, "Ihochi, if that's the case, my tamu kalu chiyuta de Rav Mari, then why did his whole flock die out?" Sounds like his flock died out because he was being poter himself from the din of bechor. Over here, we're saying that he treated his animals with bechora. Where it says, "Mishum tamafkeluhu mikedushu tayu," because the way he did this, even though he was treating them with Kedushat Bechor afterwards, they were animals of Chulin that he was acting like they were Bechor. But what his action of selling a portion of it to the Goy took away all the Kedushah of Bechor from this animal. So the fact that it took away all the Kedushah of Bechor from this animal, now you have a behemoth Chulin, and he's treating him like Kedushat Bechor. But he got rid of the Kedushah of Bechor. So therefore he was punished with his whole flock dying out. V'amar Rav Yehuda, doesn't Rav Yehuda say mutar l'adam latil mum b'bechor kodem sheyetzei l'avir olam? We have a statement from Rav Yehuda. If one wants to be patur from bechor, not really patur, but make it into chulin, what a person does is sticks his hand into the womb of the mother and makes a mum, makes a blemish in this bechor inside of the mother, because the bechor does not take on kedusha until it's come out of its mother's womb, until it's come out of its mother. So therefore, when you make the mum before it's out of its mother's womb, you're doing it before it has kedushat bechora, and then you put the mum in there, and then when it's born, it's automatically a bechor ba mum. Gemara says there's a difference. Hada mikdushat mizbeach kamafkilei, mikdushat kohen lo mafkilei. The suggestion of Rabbi Yehuda is simply that you put a mum in it, so it changes it from a bechor tam to a bechor ba mum, but it still has kedushat bechor. Bechor ba tam goes on mizbeach, bechor ba mum goes to the kohen, but they both still have kedushat Bechora. So therefore, the suggestion of Rabbi Yehuda is put a mum in it so that we don't have this problem, this takala, the fact that these bechorot are running around and waiting to have a mum in them, because you've done the fact, you put a mum in it already, so it's done from the beginning. But it's still kadosh b'kedushat bechora, and it'll be given to the Kohen. On the other hand, what Rav Mari bar Rachel did over here was mafkia halcha, chelafim b'kedushat kohen l'makam afgilei. He removed the kedushat bechora entirely from the animal. And that we don't want to do. We don't want to remove the kedushat bechora. We just want to make it so there is no takala over here. So Rabbi Yehuda's suggestion solves that problem of takala, but still maintains the kedushat bechor. Now then, what Rav Mari Baruch Hu was doing eliminates the kedushat bechor whatsoever, and that we're not happy with. V'baitema, and some suggest Rav Mari Baruch Hu yadala knuya kinyan gamur. He knew how to do a full-fledged kinyan to the Ovid Kochavim. V'chazilein she'yachrino, and then other people saw him doing this. V'avid, and they did what he was doing, but Savar Rav Mari Miltahu da Avad Vatabad Date Katala. They thought whatever Rav Mari Baruch Hu was doing was just extra and enhanced type of kinyan, but they did it their own way, and therefore they were saying they were patur mina bechor, they were patur from the mitzvah bechor, even though they really weren't, because whatever kinyan they did with the Ovid Kochavim was not sufficient. And since it wasn't sufficient, the Ovid Kochavim did not have a partnership in this animal. Since they didn't have a partnership in this animal, then they really were chayavim bechor. So he was causing other people to make a mistake. They misunderstood his actions, and because of that, he was really lifnei iver, because he was patur from the bechor. But when other people saw him, they tried to emulate what he was doing. They didn't do it exactly like he was doing it, and they ended up having animals that were really chayavin in the mitzvah bechor. But nevertheless, they were calling them patur min bechor. What Kinyani did over here is actually a three-way machloket between Rashi, the Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosafot, and the Rabbeinu Gershom. So according to Rashi, what he did over here was, he took money from the Ovid Kochavim. The way to ensure that you have a full-fledged kinyan with the Ovid Kochavim is you have to give money. Can't do it with any other kinyan. So that's what Rashi says over here. He tried, he took money from them. The Ovid Kochavim lo kani el b'kesef. because he can only have a kinyan through money. And then they thought that he was just doing some extra stuff with the money. He thought that they could do it. People watched him, thought they could do it through the dibur. Just speaking to the Kochavim, you could be maknahim a portion of the animal, even without the exchange of the cash. And so therefore, they tried to connect between the actions of Rav Mari Barakel and what they were doing and saying, it was fine, we're makna the Obi Chavim the ear. But that's not enough. You have to actually take the money in order for there to be a kinyan. So that's what Rashi says the mistake was. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Gershom says that the Rav Mari Barakel yadu leknuya kinyan gamor lechol adam afilu shelo bifanav. He knew how to do it even if the person wasn't there. Kagona yadei bito, bino bito agdolim, di'luhu yad. That he knew how to do this, zakhen shel adam shelo bifanav. You can do a schut, you can do something to the benefit of an individual, even when he's not in front of you. So he used to be makneit to his older children, who have a yad, an independent yad, and they could be zocha on behalf of the Obi Kochavim to give him a kinyan in the animal. Other people didn't understand that. They didn't know how to do a kinyan properly like that, and therefore they used to do it even with their younger children, and they didn't know how to make this kinyan of zakhen shel adam shelo bifanav. So because of what they saw him do, there was confusion, and they would do these kinyanim, even though they were not proper kinyanim. The last suggestion is by the Rabbeinu Tam as to what the kinyan is over here, and that is, Perish Rabbeinu Tam, so that the ozen of the Bechor that he was makne was when it was an ubar, and it was still a fetus. And that's a davar, shelo badi olam. That's something that doesn't exist yet. So you're making a kinyan, you're selling something, you're giving something to the goy that doesn't exist in the world yet. So davar shelo badi olam, you can't make a kinyan on. But there are ways to phrase it. You can be makneed behemado oznei ubar. There are ways to connect the kinyan to something that is already extant, something that's already there, and includes this ear of the ubar. So you speak about the animal itself for the ear of the ubar. So if the kinyan relates to something that's there, the mother, even though it's talking about something that shelo badi olam, that kinyan would work. But since it's an unusual kinyan, it has to be done properly in order to be makne davar shelo badi olam. People saw that, and they didn't understand that. They just thought you could sell things that didn't exist yet. And they used to do regular sales of the ear of the ubar, even though you can't do it in that manner. You have to do it in a special manner that Rav Mari did. So therefore, Rav Mari was held accountable for that, the fact that even though when he did it, it worked. But nevertheless, because other people saw him and they did it inappropriately, they didn't do it properly. They were learning from him, but they weren't learning clearly from him because he knew the halacha and they didn't know the halacha. And therefore, he was held accountable for the mistakes that other people were making, and that's why his flock died out. There's a very important Tosafot here. There's a very large Tosafot on the right side that asks a basic question. He says here from the Gemara that you're not allowed to do what Rav Mari Barachel did, at least according to Lishna Rishona, according to the first Lishna, that you're not allowed to sell a portion of the animal in order to make yourself Patur Min HaBechorah. Well, that's exactly what we do today. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Ma Shein Nizarim Achshav, Vavapi Shein Neash Rav Mari. How come today that's exactly what we do? We sell a portion of the animal to a goy in order to make ourselves Patur Min HaBechorah. And Rav Mari was punished for that, so why is that the methodology that we use? Perish Rav Adam, Rav Mari Nenash Lefshaya, Makne Ozno Shel Ubar. He did it with the Ubar. Ve'ikav Ka Begufa Ubar. And therefore you remove the Kedusha from the actual Ubar itself. V'hakna Be'eim Mesharya. But we do it with the mother. That's how we get the Dov Chavim Be'emtsa. That's what makes us Turim, and that's different than Rav Mari, who was doing it with the Ubar. That's the first statement of the Rabbeinu Tam. And then he says, even though there are some Sfarim that are Goreis, that it's Lo'ozna in the Nekeva form, which would seem to indicate that it was done by the mother and not by the Ubar. Nevertheless, he says that applies to the word animal, Chiyuta, and not to the mother Behima. And then he says, in addition to that, there's a difference between what happened in the time of Rav Mari and what happened in our time. The Gemara suggests over there in the time of Rav Mari, he should have done like Rav Yehuda. Should have done like Rav Yehuda to stick his hand in and make a mum in the Ubar, and that would have solved the problem instead of doing what Rav Mari did, was to sell to Ovi Kochavim. Tosafot says, Rav Mari is punished because he had that alternative. He had the alternative of doing like Rav Yehuda and putting a mum in the animal while it was still in the womb of its mother. He says, that's true if you know how to do that. If you are Bikiyim and how to do that. And he said, quotes the Gemara in other places, that's only Be'efshar, if that's a possibility. But with the law of Shar, when that's not a possibility, then you do have a right to act like Rav Mari to sell the animal. He says Rav Mari, in his time, they knew how to put a mum into the ubar, and they knew they were experts in mumim, and therefore he could have had that option to maintain the kedushat bechor and make it into a bechor bal mum. But that's why he was punished for selling it to the Ovi Kochavim. He says today, where we don't know how to do that properly, we're not experts in mumim, we don't know how to put a mum into the ubar inside the mother's womb, and therefore, we only have one other option. That's to sell it to the Obi Kochavim in order to be a Patur Bechor, to remove the problem of Takala. So he says, since we have no other alternative, that's why we're allowed to do it. Rav Murray, who did have an alternative, therefore he was held accountable for the fact that he didn't use that alternative. And that's the difference between Rav Murray and what we do today. All right, we'll stop over here.